Our reading is Luke 7:36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus asked him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. She did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven."
Miss Robov, you may think it's because it's hot up here, or hot underneath here, and that's true. It is hot, but the robe is, for clergy, is a symbol of authority, as is the thing I wear around my neck. When I was ordained, it was draped. It was draped over my neck, and then the stole, or the robe was put on me, and the stole was draped over my neck by my father. And my wife was there, too, to participate in that. I put the robe on this morning for the baptism because it's a sacred sacrament. And I'm just a person like you. And it's only by the grace of God that I'm able to stand up and do those kinds of things. They are not a sign of my righteousness. They are not a sign of me being a good person. They in and of themselves do not give me authority. It's only God. I have to tell you a story about a doctor that I met just not too long ago. He's my doctor, and I'll spare you all the details, but he's a urologist. And I went to see the urologist because I, as some men do, as they get older, their PSA goes high. And mine went up a little bit. So my primary care doctor was concerned and said I needed to see another doctor, so I went to see him. Make a long story short, after about a month and a half, 2 months of various tests and a few other things, trying out medicines, my doctor sent me a text. and said, "There's no cancer." And I was so grateful that I sat down with my phone and fired back a text to him. And I said, just that, "I'm so grateful. And I want to thank you for all that you, for your care for me and your expertise and your support." A little time went by, and then I received a text response from him. It said, I just work here. And it was a little confusing to me. I thought, well, he's very humble, and he is. He's a very humble man who happens to be a doctor. But then a few minutes later, he fired another text to me, and it was a reference to Scripture, 1 Corinthians. I believe it was 10, verse 39, which in essence says, "I do all that I do for the goodness of God." So he was saying to me, "I just work here. I'm a doctor, and yes, I helped you out, and this is what I'm supposed to do while I'm here." It made me think of the story that we heard this morning. Or when I heard the story, it made me think of this doctor. And this is why, because here we have a highly religious man, a Pharisee who wore the robes and taught the law and interpreted it to the people, you know, was kind of a go-between between people and God, so to speak, that when people needed to know that they were loved, or they needed hope in their life, or they needed to be liberated, or they needed to be on a new track, or to find a joy and fulfillment in life, to know that they were a part of something greater than just the daily drudgery of life. This Pharisee, Simon, his role was to invite people to come closer, to know who God is. And so this Pharisee, he invites Jesus because, well, he probably invited him to his home because, well, he had heard and seen what Jesus was doing, and he wanted to have him at his home. We do that for people that we like, don't we? Or they do great things, or we appreciate them. We want to invite them over for dinner. So Jesus is there, and while he's there, this woman who has probably had a horrible life, a life of disappointments, hard luck upon hard luck upon hard luck upon hard luck. Perhaps she was abandoned as a child. Perhaps we don't know the story of this woman. We just know that she comes because Jesus is there. And that's another important point. When people come to church that haven't been to church before, they're coming because they're looking for hope, or they're looking for something in life. They come to the church. And so this woman came to church, so to speak, and came into this home of Simon the Pharisee. And the moment I can imagine in my own mind, in my heart, that the moment she stepped in the door, the tears began to flow. There have been times in my life when I needed grace, and all it took was for me to walk in the door of a church or walk into the presence of someone who I knew cared, and wow, the tears began to flow. Have you ever experienced that? And so there she is. She's tearing up when she walks in the door, and she sees Jesus, and she begins to weep, and she feels like there's a chance for her. There's hope for her. And so she begins to bathe his feet with her tears, and she's kissing his feet, and all of this is out of her response of being loved or having the possibility of new life, of something different, of something great. And of course, Simon is over here and he knows who this woman is, or perhaps he knows of her, or he knows of other women like her. And so he's thinking to himself, wow, if Jesus really knew who this person was, to complete the sentence, he wouldn't be allowing this to happen, perhaps. And so Jesus says to him, tells him this little parable about two people being forgiven, having great debts, one of them greater than the other. And he asks the question, when both of them are forgiven their debt, which one is going to be more grateful? And of course, who wouldn't know the answer to that question? Simon says, well, I suppose the one who was forgiven the greater debt. And Jesus said, you have answered correctly. Now he says, you see what's happening before you, Simon? This woman, I came into your house and you never even gave me a drink of water, let alone kiss me on the cheek or anoint my head, but she has cared for me and shown love to me. And finally, Jesus says, the one who has been forgiven much loves much. And the one who seems to have no need for any forgiveness, it's hard for them to love. Now, I'm not, and this story is not pointing a finger at anyone, really. It's just Jesus does what he does so well. Puts out there what's life-giving. What's more human? What's greater for a changed world? We need to recognize or realize that there was a time in our life, and there probably will be another time in our life, and maybe many times in our lives, when we will be in need of grace. And we must remember that grace will never go away. It can never be undone. It's always available. We taught that this week in Vacation Bible School, that Jesus is always with us. That Jesus gives us hope. Hello? Wow, what's happening? That Jesus gives us courage. That, and when we kind of lose our way and we're not sure which way to go, like Clark Cavern often did during Vacation Bible School, he couldn't find his way where he needed to be, Jesus gives us direction. And wow, what a wonderful gift, most precious gift in all the world, in all of life, when we realize that Jesus loves us, gives us love. And then that power, when we feel hopeless and helpless and like we can't take a step forward. Or, you know, it not only takes power to step forward and accomplish something or move ahead, but sometimes it takes great power to take a step back. I've found that in my life sometimes, and I found that when I was raising two daughters, that there were times when I thought I was so right, and it took a lot of courage and a lot of power for me to, okay, take a step back, you know, let me hear what you think. And so Jesus gives us power. That was kind of weak. There you go, see? This is a wonderful story. But it's not just a story. It's a reality in life. It's a reality in the world. That when we realize that someone has loved us and we don't really deserve that, our behavior didn't kind of didn't demand that we should be loved, but rather was just given to us, then we have this sense of gratitude. And gratitude, when we feel it, leads to different behavior, leads to wanting to show that same grace and love to others, to forgive others as we have been forgiven. Jesus calls us to that. Last week, we played around with the idea of what people do because of us. You know, because of our behaviors, our attitudes, our words, our statements, our actions. This week, as we leave this place or prepare to go back out into the world and do those things that we do every week, may we remember that the things that we do because we are forgiven, have been forgiven, because we are loved, are the things that will change the world and change our lives. May that be so for each one of us. Thanks be to God.